space in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Tastes like fried chicken.
It's hot.
I was supposed to have two more people.
Chairman Martin.
Here.
Ms. Davis. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese. Lavach.
Here.
Shoemaker.
Here.
Connor.
Here. Matters on the agenda this evening are administrative. We've got minutes from our last meeting, and we've got I'll have to review now our revisions to all minutes that we as members made. Everyone had an opportunity to do the meeting in October. Motion to approve the minutes of October 20th. Is there?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Question. Roll call on the approval of the minutes from our
on a roll for the members who were present on October 20th. Mr. Smetana. Shoemaker.
Yes.
Dombrowski.
Yes.
And Martin.
Yes. Got findings of fact from the hearings we held that day, mm-hmm. and what we asked to review this evening, draft ones pertain to the property at 9. Motion to approve these.
Second.
About these findings. Motion to approve these.
Martin.
Yes.
Dombrowski.
Yes.
Shoemaker.
Yes.
Yes. We've got the findings of fact for the property at 10. Bonnie Bray. Again, these have been revised in accordance with our comments. Findings of fact.
Chairman Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Yes.
Mr. Tonin.
Yes.
All right, then we've got the findings of fact. Thomas. Act 470.
Chairman Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Shoemaker.
Yes.
Mr. Smetana.
Yes.
Last one we have is the request related to the variation at 50.
Chairman Martin.
Yes.
Dombrowski.
Yes.
Shoemaker.
Yes.
Mr. Smetana.
Yes.
Later on the agenda this evening is a continuation of our hearing regarding accessory. Anyone whom the intent. But the, our last meeting. Heard a presentation by Mr. Seal. Turning those amendments code provided to us by memorandum from Mr. Walsh and information from Mr. Houseel. So continue with your.
You bet. All right. So in follow-up to last month's meeting, there were a few follow-up questions. There was some requests that we add a couple of assumptions to our list of assumptions prior to the draft regulations, that we adjust some additional standards that include and address the ability to get variances based on the issue of wanting an ADU or having an ADU. They wanted to was directed to look at some ADU regulations in some other communities over the last 20 plus years. Whenever we've done zoning amendments of various types, we've looked at other, a handful of other communities that are sort of similar grid pattern, historic homes, new infill development, more affluent, sort of higher property valued communities, fully built out types of communities for comparison purposes to see how they regulate things, just, you know, to get a better understanding. There were three items that we had discussed that village staff is going to look into a little bit more, and I think Cliff and that a little bit more. And then I included some appendix of some comparative things. So first thing is item number one, revised ADU ordinance assumptions. We came in with 10. This is on page 2 of the memo. And we went through those 10. It didn't seem to be any objections or revisions to those 10, but there was a request that we added 2 additional ones based on my notes. One was that ADU should meet all applicable standards of the zoning districts in which it is proposed, the R1 and R2, and that no variation should be granted to accommodate an ADU. So if someone would come in and say, I can put in an ADU, but I need a side yard setback, or I need a greater lot coverage, or I need an FAR to accommodate an accessory dwelling unit, that a provision be provided if this goes forward, that that's not grounds for an ADU, or you can't say I want an ADU, so therefore I need a variation. The other one was that a variation should not be granted to a property if an ADU of the property is the rationale given by a hardship. Let's say a community, somebody comes in and they're 400 square feet below their max lot coverage, and they build a 400 square foot ADU. They are at max lot coverage. They come in a year later and they want to do an addition, and they say, well, I can't, because a year ago I got an ADU, and that ADU is 400 square feet. Now I need additional room for my house. So you can't, the provision was that, the suggestion was to put in here an assumption that you can't use an ADU as grounds for a variation, and that if you have an ADU, that can't be the cause for the need for a variation later. So those two things were added as 11 and 12 on page 2 of the assumptions. In correlation to that, on page 3, so item number 2, revised draft ADU standards, we introduced an item number 9 and an item number 10 that would change the wording into a specific section of the code, section 10.5.4, to reflect those two changed assumptions. So the limitations on getting a variation. The first one reads, major or minor variations per section 10.5.4 shall not be granted to accommodate an accessory dwelling unit. And 10 was, major or minor variations per section 10.5.4 shall not be granted for a property if the cause for the variation request is an accessory dwelling unit. Those two were added as standards to reflect those two. The other thing that we were asked to do is sort of take a look at some other communities, again, that we in the past have looked at to get a sense of how they regulate, just for comparison purposes, whether it be FAR, lot coverage, or whatever. So we did the same thing here for accessory dwelling units. And again, I think there are like 14 or 1,300 municipalities in the state of Illinois. A relatively small fraction allow ADUs. Most do not, but a fair number do, but the majority overwhelmingly do not have ADU provisions. So we looked at the ones here. You can see them. Elmhurst, Evanston, Glencoe, Glen Ellen, Glenview, Hinsdale, Kenilworth, Northbrook, Northfield, Oak Park, Wilmette, and Winnetka. So these are just some of the ones we looked at to get a sense of do they or don't they. And 4 of them provide ADUs regulations, Evanston, Oak Park, Wilmette, and Winnetka. And the other ones do not. Elmhurst does not, Glencoe, Glen Ellen, Glenview, Hinsdale, Kenilworth, Northbrook, and Northfield do not. There are other ones that do that we poked around. They're not really comparable communities. Lake Bluff just passed one in January. I think last time we talked about Oak Brook just passed one. Well, they haven't. I thought they did. They are working on it, but they have not adopted it yet. So Oak Brook is working on one. We'll see if it gets adopted, but it has not been adopted yet. So there are other communities that have them. Our objective was not to go through the entire state to try to identify everybody that did, just the ones in communities that we're sort of familiar with. So that's a table of some of the ones that do. We have a comparative analysis of ADU standards now on page 5. So this shows you the different communities. The first column is River Forest, is proposed based on the assumptions that we have. And then we have Evanston, Oak Park, Wilmette, and Winnetka. And the reason we showed these three is because these, depending on aspects of the community, could be considered comparable or comparative, and they have ADU regulations. So we took a look at theirs relative to what we have as our assumptions. So a couple of them are a little bit different. They're all allowed in residential districts, which makes sense, with lots of single-family detached homes. One of our assumptions is that it be permitted as a special use if it goes forward in River Forest, because the affordable housing plan specifically stated consider it as a special use in the R1, R2. Wilmette is a special use. Evanston, Oak Park, and Winnetka are as of right, so you don't need a public hearing to do it. Lake Bluffs is another one. I was talking to them. We and our staff, we called up and talked with all of these departments and as well as several other communities. Lake Bluff is a special use permit as well. In fact, they require a meeting, a discussion with the Plan Commission / Zoning Board before they're even allowed to apply for special use. They want to talk about the ADU. What do you want to use it for? Let's talk about how it would fit in. So before they can even apply, they have to vet it in like a public meeting. Pretty interesting. That's Lake Bluff. And again, Lake Bluff is sort of a later add to this list. Number of allowed, 1 per lot, pretty straightforward. Size limitations, they all have some kind of size limitation in different ways. Ours was 20% of the principal dwelling unit or 400 square feet, no more than 800 square feet. So every community, whether it was 1,000 or 25% of the principal structure or nor less than 350, or they all have some sort of requirement. And what they're getting at there is the ADU should always be secondary to the primary dwelling. They didn't want a 4,000 square foot building with a 2,000 square foot ADU and a 2,000 square foot primary unit, because that's a duplex. So different ways, this is the different standards for size limitations. Location restrictions, what we had proposed in our assumption was that it would be in the primary building only. Most of the other ones we looked at allowed it in the principal building. Some allowed it in accessory structures. So in Evanston and in Wilmette and Winnetka, it could be an accessory structure. Excuse me, in Wilmette, it cannot be. But in so two of the other three, it can be either in a detached garage, like above the parking spaces in a garage, or it can be in the primary structure. Again, our assumption, to reiterate from last time, our initial assumption was it has to be in the primary structure. And the reason being is the comprehensive plan and the affordable housing plan. In fact, every document the village puts forth, it sort of mandates or states pretty emphatically the established character of our single family neighborhoods is most important. It's what defines the community, and we need to protect and enhance it. So currently in a single family detached environment of River Forest, all the occupancy is in the primary structure. There are no residences in the back for the most part. So we wanted to keep all residential in that primary building envelope. Other communities, you could do it in a garage. Design standards, they all have different ones, similar to the single family structure, similar architecture to the primary structure, maintain a single family appearance, location of the entrances. So very similar to what we proposed. Access, we talk about, one driveway only. We don't want people putting in a secondary driveway for the ADU, like if it's on a corner or a 100-foot wide lot. We didn't want like the west end driveway to be for the primary residence and have them put in another driveway for the ADU. The other regulations are silent on that. Parking, we required one space per unit. So if you're going to put in an ADU, you have to have a designated parking space. And Wilmette, which is probably one of the more communities similar in terms of neighborhood structure to us, Wilmette also required one parking space per accessory dwelling unit. Evanston, Oak Park, and Winnetka do not have a parking requirement for ADUs. Lake Bluff is another one we looked at today. It does have a parking requirement. Owner occupancy, we say that you have to have an owner occupied requirement of one of the two structures. Some of the ones we looked at before said you had to have ownership had to be by one party, and it had to be one, you had to live in there. So the owner has to live in one of the two units. And that was pretty consistent across a lot of the ones that we spoke with, but not all of them. Variations, our proposal as amended, says you can't get a variation. The other communities are silent on it. Affordability, our assumption is here that it has to be an affordable unit. And the reason we're saying that in River Forest based on our assumptions is because really the only reason River Forest is even looking at it is the affordable housing plan said we should consider ADUs as a means of providing affordable housing. So if we're going to provide accessory dwelling units that aren't affordable, we're not achieving the sole reason we're looking at them. Other communities don't have any price point on them. They just say they can be whatever they need to be. So we're unique in that regard. And then an impact fee for schools, if there is one, it's not addressed in any of the other codes. And again, just something we had talked about last time. So we're on point with some of the other communities, not all the communities with regard to some of those things. And then I don't know, Cliff, if you want to run through the three different things on page six, this is the additional questions. So one was, should ADUs be subject to school impact fees as a first-time residential development on a lot? Should a fire suppression wall be required between the ADU and the primary unit of the building? And how would the village infrastructure be impacted if ADUs were allowed? Here, Cliff, you want to address those three before we go on to the next thing?
In regards to the question about asking in utilities for additional units, I talked to Public Works Director Jeff Loster about it. He did not see an issue with impact on facility capacity. Out that if application were made for an ADU to come through, the building department would review the fixtures to make sure the capacity would on the private lot would be able to. In regards to the school impact, I included a calculation based on our code. Our code requires school impact fee for a new structure or offers it as a condition for plan development or special use. And then it includes calculation based on the expected children per unit. So I ran through the numbers using the apartment figures that are in our village code for a one bedroom apartment expected. Impact fee would just be about $28, and then for one for a two-bedroom unit, it would be a little over $1,200. That's because there's so many more expected bids for a two-bedroom unit. So that was just to kind of put out there what that impact would be if the ZBA or the Village Board later were to consider that impact. I talked to Attorney Skrotsky today about that. If the ZBA wanted us to, that we would likely have to hold a separate public hearing because that Chapter 23 of the zoning title wasn't included in the original public hearing for this purpose because we hadn't considered it at the time, but we certainly would be able to do that.
Fire separation wall.
The village adopts the International Residential Code for one and two family dwelling units, and the existing codes that we have in place would require a fire rated separation between. So that's already in place in the building codes.
Have it, would they be allowed? Because allowed some don't for bulk of code and everything. But to have utilities in that same firewall that are shared by both.
That is subject to the. That is subject to the specifics of the design of the fire rated assembly. Certain fire-rated walls allow utilities in them. Some of them do not. Some of them, like electrical outlets, require offsets in them. So, you know, that's a specific requirement of the fire-rated assembly, which is a tested assembly, which is, you know, beyond the building code. And there are literally hundreds of assemblies to choose from, and you know that's mainly an enforcement issue.
So just to wrap up, there's a few other comparative things that we wanted to look at for other communities. So in addition to the table that we did, we looked at a few others. So I'm going to read off ones that some of these have already mentioned that do have some kind of an ADU regulation. Evanston, Lake Bluff, Lake Forest, Oak Park, Wilmette and Winnetka are the ones that we sort of either looked at for their ordinance language or contact. Those that we reached out to that do not have one but are in some ways comparable to River Forest. So these are ones that do not. Elmhurst, Glencoe, Glen Ellen, Glenview, Hinsdale, Kenilworth, Northbrook, Northfield, none of those do have one. And then the other thing I did is my staff called up some of the municipal staff at some of these communities to find out when it went into effect, if they had one. We only contact communities that have it. And since they've been enacted, how active has it been? How are people applying for them and are they being granted? So Evanston's code was adopted 2 years ago in 2020. And since then, they have had 23 ADUs that were detached, so like in a garage, like above the garage, and it's always sort of like two spaces, then a place up above the garage. So 23 in detached structures, two were approved in the primary structure. So in the last 2 years, Evanston has approved 25, right? That's a big number, even compared to some of the communities in California that are required to do it. It's 25 is a big number over 2 years. Wilmette was adopted in 2019, so we're going back a few years now. They have two ADUs that have been built in the last 3 years, much less. Winnetka, they're not permitted, but they had some that were pre-existing that they're dealing with, but none new ones are permitted. Oak Park was adopted in January of this year, so it's only been around for, 10, 11 months, right? They've had five new ADUs approved. They indicated from some of the staff that we spoke to, they sort of indicated they didn't believe all of them were being utilized for full-time residences. They said some of them might have just been left vacant unless somebody was visiting or for high school or college kids to hang out when they come home or just as a recreation space above a garage. So, like, even though they were met the definition of an ADU. They don't know exactly how many, but they didn't feel as though all of them were being used as permanent ADU. So since the beginning of the year in Oak Park, they've approved five, and five were historically grandfathered in ones that they're trying to sort of officially acknowledge as existing, but they were been around for a while. Oak Brook, like I said before, I thought they had adopted one. They hadn't. They are working on it. They're trying to refine some standards and bring it through the adoption process. So kind of like us, they don't have one. I don't know if they will or not, but they're working on it. And then Lake Bluff adopted one in February of this year. They've had zero applications for it. But out of all the ones we looked at, theirs was the most onerous set of regulations. But they haven't had anybody apply or come forward either, but they've got one on the book. So that's it.
Chart that shows the qualities that allow and don't allow ones that under the old category heard it and rejected it or have.
I don't believe when we contacted them, we looked at minutes, we looked, we searched ADU on the website to see if ever it was discussed. And we didn't see on any of those where they had a series of meetings, got to the point, and then decided not to adopt it. So I can't definitively say yes, but we did go through searches on the websites and didn't find anything. Whereas if you went through ones that did have it and you searched ADU, you could see the discussions, the meetings, whatever else. So I can't state that any one of them discussed it and then at the end decided not to adopt them. So I can't speak to that, but my hunch is no, based off of searching the websites for the terminology.
Command one standard. No variations.
People do have the right to apply for a variation. That's a basic right that people have to come and apply for a variation. Have it in your code that you variation based on certain things, certain that has to fit in with the LaSalle factors for how you would examine or analyze the things that people have come to you for. One of the things that I'm hearing communicated fits in very nicely with the LaSalle factors, which is that you can't create your own burden, right? So if you're going to do the building and then apply for something else, if you're going to create the problem and then apply for something else and say, I need more room because I've created the ADU, then you're already failing the LaSalle factors.
That's like
the related to the construction of the ADU.
Isn't that number?
So somebody inquired with staff regarding variations on construction of staff would say it's not the entire variations. I don't think you can prevent people from applying at all, but you can prevent.
Yeah, and again, I'm not an attorney, so I defer. We work in a lot of communities that have limitations on variations, like say, variations shall not be granted to these provisions of the sign ordinance. Okay, so it says right in the code, for not granting variations for this, these are our standards. Now, the other means of relief, so variations are put in place where this, as you know, where the strict applications of the underlying zoning to that site don't make sense. But the other relief that's available for people if a variation is not is an amendment, a text amendment. Anybody has a legal right to come in and say, like, listen, I don't think that's your standard. That's fine. It's legal. I would like to propose a text amendment to change the standard to allow us to approve. So even if the variation prevented it, that process is not available to an applicant. But a text amendment is something that is always available to residents or business owners to apply for an amendment to the zoning ordinance to change it. So there's always going to be the legal recourse of some kind of an amendment relief that can be sought. But I would agree there's seven LaSalle Sinclair factors, collectively five and two, right, that patch together that sort of lay out the what you can and can't do for zoning purposes. So again, if I thought we couldn't do it, I would have called it out last week. I think, and again, I'm not the attorney, so we could have the attorney and her team dig into it more if you wanted to. But my hunch is the way it's worded here is solid. So
yeah, I think you just have to see how the actual ordinance phrased it, because the variance, if they're coming in for a variance for something like, for instance, lot coverage,
right,
and it's due to the ADU, but it's not immediately associated with the provision, it can't necessarily prevent somebody from applying for a variation to lot coverage, right? They have a right to do that. But then you all have a right to consider that and say this problem is being created by your construction of an ADU. That's not to qualify as.
One of the most important, there's a lot of important provisions to standards, but I think one of the most important was you're not creating your own hardship. And, you know, if I need a side yard setback variation so I can build an ADU. Well, the hardship is building an ADU. Then you're the property owner. It's not a necessity. It's a convenience. Don't build the ADU. You don't need the hardship, or you don't need a variation. So the hardship runs with the proposed thing. It doesn't run with the property. It runs with the proposal or the idea. So to me, I think we're in good shape. But that's non-legal planning opinion.
But that if in fact a property did not buy, would be a way of
absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's how it was set up. Yeah.
If you didn't have the variation language for if I have an ADU and I'm using that as justification for a variation for something else, but the ADU already exists, was permitted, that is one thing. But if we simply
that's number 10.
Yeah, right, number 10. Number 10. That's, right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So 10, I think, is good. But number 9, we may not need if it just says you have to comply with the underlying zoning regulation standards of the R1, R2 district, which it already says, that if someone comes in and says, well, I need a variation, they say, well, you can't. It says you have to comply to the standards. So it may be redundant. I don't know.
Well, here's something funny. I'm considering building one on my property. Sold. And my lot size is a little smaller. It's not quite as wide, and this is, now I might not be able to do it just because I'm on a corner also.
Yeah.
When you're on a corner, you have to have a further set. So this would ring true for me if I were to come in front of the board for a variation, but of course I wouldn't want to have to do that because I'm already on the board, and I'd feel a little funny by doing that. So, you know, if you're going to add something like this to your property, you've got to make sure, in my opinion, and this will go against what I would like, but you would have to basically go by whatever the village tells you to do. I mean, I don't know if you should be able to get granted a variation for a property that's going to be something extra primary residence.
Right.
Shooting myself in the foot here, but that's just my opinion.
Any reason? The provision that both of it would make a whole lot more expensive. Just at the last meeting, that there were
children. Or to
school impact.
I discussed today with Walsh was that you can consider that, but it would have to go through the public hearing process because that was not part of the notice for the amendment that we're considering it. Part of the amendments that were noticed would have to go through again with a separate notice. You could do it either. I mean, timing wise, you could out whether we want to.
Meaning it may be redundant. It said the principal dwelling unit.
We could. I mean, we could do that, sure. Principal dwelling unit and accessory dwelling shall be served by a common driveway. No additional, we can put in there common, no additional driveway shall be installed to accommodate the ADU. We can put something like that. That's good. That's better, yeah. Shall be solely served, will be served solely by, okay.
Requiring
it. Yeah, so for it, so again, we can make it whatever what you would like to put in here. The village right now requires 2 covered parking spaces per single family detached dwelling as a requirement now. Enclosed. What we put in here is just you have to provide a parking space for it that doesn't obstruct getting to the other two. It can't be just parked in the middle of the driveway. But we don't say it should be enclosed. If you wanted to, we could do that. That would mean either creating another garage space if they don't have it. So we could, but that's not in here now. This just says you need to have a parking space. But it doesn't, it could be open air.
If it was just for residents. And like would you have to have another case if you're it's just going to be
talking about what is the use?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a kid, I'm sorry.
Depends on what the use.
Well, no. Yes and no, but it. An ADU's got to have the kitchen facility, bathroom facility. You could use it as your high school kid could just go in there and hang out and play PlayStation all day long, and you may never use it as a residence, but it's constructed physically. The structure is a residence. It is an independent unit. How you use it could be, so what if someone did that and said, like, well, my kid's just going to hang out and play there, and then a year later, the kid goes off to college, and now I rented out as an ADU. Then you got to come back to get the parking, but what if you can't accommodate the parking? You've already been given the ADU. So if it doesn't have a kitchen and doesn't have a bathroom, then it's not by definition an ADU.
What if it has one or the other?
No, that's not enough. If I have like a bathroom in the garage, and there's village code about this, but the definition for like an ADU is it's an independent sustained dwelling unit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a dwelling unit isn't defined just by bathroom facilities.
Yeah.
You've got to have a kitchen and stuff. So this would not usurp any other village code about putting plumbing or fixtures or whatever else in your garage. We don't even touch that. We're just saying we're talking about ADUs, and ADU is both. It's not one or the other. It's both. I think that one or the other is prevented by village code now.
A dwelling unit is defined by the residential code and by the property maintenance as a requiring spaces for eating, sleeping, living, cooking,
having a separate independent basically those five options. So somebody comes to us and says, well, you know, I've got this space above my garage. It's my office. I'd like to put in a bathroom. Okay. Bathroom's good. Don't put a kitchen.
Right.
Because starting to move towards a dwelling unit.
Right.
And then, you know, a separate dwelling unit is a violation of the limitations on the number of dwelling units on a lot.
When you talk about kitchen, you're saying a full kitchen, i.e. for cooking. I mean, like if you just had a sink in there, I was just going to use it, had a sink in there with a bathroom. That's really not considered a kitchen.
Spaces for eating, living, and cooking.
Okay.
So
okay.
you have a sink.
Uh-huh.
Put a hot plate in, and you've got a cooking facility.
I mean, there's an infinite number of ways to take a run at a code if your intent is to take a run at the code. There's no way around it. I mean, people are clever. But the intent is to regulate a dwelling unit and all the components that make up a dwelling unit that Clifford just said. So if you just wanted to put in a bathroom because it's where your kids hang out, you know, in the garage, it's not an ADU. It wouldn't be regulated by this.
To consider whether or not the ADU goes or would be accepted by
as a means of providing affordable housing.
As a means, I understand that not required. Whether we should have.
Correct. The direction was to have a discussion and consider it.
The matter before you at hand is the text amendment. The action this time.
The draft, yeah.
Draft.
I would move that we recommend.
Or the six.
Or the trustees.
And I guess the only thing I would that might be helpful is if they get a recommendation of we're not recommending approval of this amendment, is it because the amendment is horrible, they don't like the assumptions, they don't like the standards, they don't like the regulations, or they don't want to approve this because you don't want ADUs? So I guess if there's some telegraphing as to why it's being not supported, I think that would be helpful. You don't have to. I'm just thinking it would be helpful. Otherwise, they're not going to know why.
I would say just an answer.
Don't want them.
For position. Yeah. It's really clunky, too. I don't prefer to favor ADUs. Regulation and
I see what it's done to like Forest Park right next door. A lot of them just horrible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't add to the neighborhood whatsoever, in my opinion.
So that was, just to reiterate, that was our approach was, that's why we identified those assumptions. We said if we're going to, we wanted to come here with a draft for you to consider. I'm not just talking about it. But in order to draw a draft up, we had to say, okay, a draft is based off of what? Well, it's based off of these assumptions. And our approach to the assumption was to take direction from the comprehensive plan, the affordable housing plan, and then the village as a whole from those documents primarily. And then if the ZBA wanted to amend or make it easier or more amenable or more strict, that's what you would do. We just wanted to sort of give you that base to start.
All that, and I agree with you. Want to call on the motion that proposed amendment.
Chairman Martin.
Yes.
Dombrowski.
Yes.
Lavac.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Connor.
Yes.
Board of Appeals. Their proposed amendment to Mattis is going to try and make us come here and
don't have any.
I don't think that any of us.
That's my birthday.
Hi, buddy. Thanks, John.
Yeah, you bet.